it said, bring grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let's pray one more time, if you don't mind. Lord, bless our hearts and our minds as we hear your word again, and we take a moment together as individuals and as a community to consider it, to reflect on it, that your spirit would turn it over in our hearts to help us see things we wouldn't otherwise see, to get the strength we need to believe in you and to follow you into whatever happens next. In your name, amen. So, nothing lasts in this life. And this is not me saying I'm accepting the call to trade, right? That's not, I want you to hear that. Right? I'm still in process on that. But nothing lasts in this life, right? Do you still have your teddy bear from when you grew up?
Yes.
Maybe a few of you do. Maybe a few of you have people like my mom who hold on to that stuff for you, and then when you graduate and leave the house, they send it with you. And like, you have it. Like, I have this this kitty quilt, which is a testament to what I did not know at that age, because I don't like cats now. But I have this kitty quilt that we moved it a bunch of times. And it's falling apart, right? It's fading, but I still have it. Now, there's plenty of other things from my childhood that I don't have. Quite a few memories, things I've forgotten already, amongst other things. But nothing lasts in this life. Whether it's a blanket, or a relationship, or something else, things, even if they last for a while, they fade over time. Right? And what doesn't fade, it can get uprooted by loss, by violence, or some mix of both. So, when you encounter everything in this world that does not last, what do you do with that? You long.
Yeah.
You long for something more than what it is. Whether it's a marriage, or a relationship with a friend, or a kid, or a parent, or work, whatever it is, you long for something to last more than what it actually does. And it's not accidental. It's not actually a bad thing. Like many things in our life, it can become bad. We can take it to a bad place. But longing for something that lasts is not by itself a bad thing, and it's not accidental. It's not a mere emotion. It's not chemical or biological or philosophical or even spiritual. It's not just those things. Longing for what lasts is existential. It's a part of living. It's a part of thriving. Longing for something that lasts. In Ecclesiastes, which was written by King Solomon thousands of years ago, God still gave him this insight. He writes it down a book called Ecclesiastes, chapter 3, verse 11. He writes, God reveals that he makes all things beautiful at just the right time. This is a Chris Trott, so paraphrase. And he puts eternity, the concept, the idea, the longing for something that lasts, the longing for everlasting, into human hearts. God does this. So, from this we know that it's good to learn to enjoy what you have while you have it, while it lasts. And it's also a good thing to long for something more. Something everlasting. Something that will not spoil or fade or get uprooted or get destroyed. Something that no bomb or ruler or decree can touch. Right? Something that lasts. So in this existence, though, where nothing lasts, not even peace, where do you go for something that does last? If you're surrounded by things that never last, what do you do with this longing? As the kids say, Jesus says, I got you. Right? Jesus starts teaching about a kingdom. The kingdom. His kingdom. And when you begin to pay attention in Matthew, when Jesus talks about the kingdom, he talks about himself. And we get this right away at the beginning of Jesus' ministry in chapter 4. He says, first thing he teaches, right, is repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. And that doesn't mean like God's throne room of heaven is almost here. It means God's kingdom, Jesus himself, is right next to you. It's near in terms of proximity, not time, because the time is now. Jesus is near. The kingdom is right here for you. And so when Jesus goes into teaching about the kingdom then, in chapter 13 and onward, in other places, he's talking about himself. So following Jesus, living by faith, this is what God is like. This is what Jesus is like. This is what the kingdom is like. And Jesus teaches this in something we call parables, which are like metaphors or similes. Jesus is teaching what the kingdom is like, right? That's English language. English people pay attention to the English language. You know that's a cue for a simile, right? The kingdom is like, right? It's like something. And so Jesus talks about it. It's like a sower going out to sow. Right? So Jesus is saying, I'm like a sower going out to sow. And in this series, we're going to look at some other parables, not just the one today, but some other ones. And these metaphors that Jesus uses to begin showing what he is like, what it's like to be with him, to live with him in his kingdom. Right? And there's a catch, though, with these parables. And sometimes we miss it, or we don't pay attention to it. So, two things I want to point out to you. One, these are not life examples. If you take these parables and pattern the principles of your life after them, you're not going to be a good person, right? The sower is incredibly wasteful with seed, right? So if you use that as like what you should do with your resources, don't do that. Right? That's not what Jesus is saying here, right? There are other parables Jesus tells, so if you follow them to the letter, like, you're not going to be a good boss. You're not going to be a good employee if you do that. So these are not life principles, right? These are kingdom examples, right? So just keep that tucked in the back of your mind as we go through these parables. So Jesus doesn't say this for how to live life. He says it what the kingdom is like. Second thing is that Jesus is always doing the verbs. I don't know about you, how familiar you are with the parables. I've heard them for a while in my life and grown up, and like, I can see myself in the roles of all the things that he's talking about. But the thing is about these parables, Jesus is always doing the verbs. Right? It's Jesus, it's God as the sower. God as the seed. So anything that's happening to bring life and to do things good, and to take things from something dead or evil into something life-giving and good, that's God doing those verbs, right? And he's saying this not to say, like, you can't do this. He's coming to you actually far more intimately and gently and saying, you can't do this, but I am here to do it for you so that you can have assurance that even though you may fall short, I never will. Even though everything around you falls short, I will never fail you. Right, so Jesus tells us things about the kingdom and about himself to bring you assurance, to bring you comfort about what's happening. And so as we get into this, as we talk about thriving today, there are three things I want you to think about with this parable, the parable of the sower. We're gonna start at the end. And I had a mentor say, sometimes when you get stuck, maybe flip the order. And that's what we're doing here. So we're gonna start with the ground, right? Ground like you, the seed, the word, and God is the sower. So ground like you, the seed, the word, and God is the sower. So let's tap into ground like you, and I think we're going to verse 9. Is that right, Chris? Let's go to verse 9. Read this with me if you like. It's really long. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. All right. Now, as you think about the types of ground in Jesus' name, there are four types of ground. And the reason why I picked this verse is because Jesus is saying it about all the types of ground and everything that's happening in the parable. And he's saying it two types of ground, right? He's saying it's two people, right? And that's who we are, that's who you are in this parable. That's who the people were in the audience that Jesus was telling the story to. Now, there are going to be some people that don't understand the parables, right? That's because they are resisting what the kingdom of God is and what it's like. And so because they refuse to believe in Jesus, they are not able to understand these parables. And so as we consider the four types of ground, the path where birds come and pick off seeds, the rocky soil that gives the seeds a chance to sprout, but almost as easily the sun comes along and burns them off. And then the weeds that grow around the seed as it grows and chokes it out, and then the good soil. We're kind of tempted to think or consider ourselves as one of those kinds of soil. And I've done this literally for decades. And it was in preparation, it was a few years ago, so not for the sermon, I've preached it before, but in preparation for the sermon earlier, that we're not just the good soil because Jesus makes us the good soil, right? Jesus is talking about all the ways an individual experiences the Word of God. There are going to be sometimes the Word of God hits you, and your heart is going to be as hard as that one path. And the seed that's God's Word will hit that path, but spiritual forces that are actively working against you will come along and pick away that word, and you'll miss it, right? You're also like that rocky soil where the Word of God hits you a particular way. You're like, this is my life verse. I need to put it on a coffee mug. I need to paint it on my wall. I need to put it on a bumper sticker in the back of my car or a sticker on my water bottle, if that's your thing. Whatever it is, like, this is what defines me as a person. And then life gets really hard sometimes. You're like, I can't read this verse anymore. I'm sick of it. Because not only does it seem like I'm feeling this, what God has said through this verse to me, but it seems like God's Word is feeling me. Right? And so all too easily, that Word gets burned away because of the difficulties of life. And then sometimes your heart is like the growth of that seed, a plant, surrounded by weeds. It's starting to grow, it's taking root, it's growing, but other things are competing for space, and it chokes out the life that seed was given. Other things come along. How often do other things come along just in your consciousness and mine this morning to distract us from what God is doing in our midst right now? Right? All too often. And so, what do we do when we're all that kind of soil, right? We also take comfort in the fact that God's Word is always at work on the hard path and the rocky soil, even surrounded by weeds, to turn that soil into something good, where His Word actually takes root and grows without competition, right? It's ground like you in which God works, because God is all over the things you need for life, for thriving while longing. God is all over that. Here's the other thing. It's leading us into our next point. If you think of your life as a field of fields, your heart is like that. Jesus heals fields with His Word. That does take us into the seed, the Word. Part of verse 19 we'll read together, and we'll get to the ear part, we'll come back to here. But the seed of the Word, verse 19, the first part of that verse. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom, right? Now, Jesus says this when He's explaining what this parable is about. Why does this happen? Why does Jesus have to explain it? Because the disciples who were in Jesus' presence when He gave that teaching in the first part of the chapter, came to Jesus later and like, can you explain the parable? I just want to make sure Matthew over here got it. I want to make sure he understands it, right? I mean, I think I know what it means, but could you explain it to Matthew? He's got some questions for you, right? Asking for a friend. And so Jesus explains it to them in a different setting. Like after he's done teaching, the crowd has been dismissed, Jesus explains it to them. And so he goes, uses this to explain to them what the seed is doing. Right? The seed is the word of God. Sometimes we capitalize the word, because when we say word, we mean Jesus. Right? When we say word, we mean Jesus. And so sometimes we call Jesus the word, and that W gets capitalized because that's a name for Jesus. Right? And so Jesus, the word, is the seed that God sows. So we've spoiled it a bit for you already. God is the sower, right? That's our third point. But God is also the seed. Jesus is that seed that gets scattered everywhere for that word to start doing its work, even though it gets snatched up, burned off, or choked out. And Jesus heals fields by digging ears. Stay with me on this. Jesus heals fields by digging ears. This is what we get from Psalm 40, verse 6. Just go with me on this. In Psalm 40, the psalmist writes, "You have given me an open ear." Right? He says this in verse 6. And in Hebrew, the way and the image that goes along with this phrase is that he's saying, "You have dug ears for me." Or another way to say it is, "Ears you have dug for me." So, my head on my own, my field, the field of my heart on my own, is hard by itself. But God, I know you, I believe in you, despite everything, because you have broken through my hard topsoil, and you have carved out ears for me to receive your word. Right? That should be the visual in your head of what God is up to with his word in this soil. Right, so the word takes hard earth where faith gets picked off. The word takes rocky ground where faith gets burned up. The word takes weed-infested ground where faith gets choked out. And the word takes all of this ground, and Jesus specifically, capital W word, he takes that word and plants it. And he transforms, he heals the field from being a hard path or the rocky ground or the weeds that are around it. He heals all of that so that it becomes good soil. With those ears that can hear and receive that good word, and where that faith can flourish and thrive and yield. And so Jesus can turn any ground into good earth. Jesus is doing the work. Jesus is doing the verbs. Jesus does God's work. Jesus does the work God sent the Son to do because God is the sower. That takes us to our last point today. Verse 3, read this with me if you will. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "A sower went out to sow." God himself goes all over all kinds of ground. And again, this is terrible advice for farming. Why? Because seed is really expensive. Like any profit a farmer makes from the crop they harvest, they turn around and pour that into buying seed for the next season. Seed is expensive, and so that's why farmers do so much work to treat their fields and get their fields ready for planting, doing all, and there's layers and layers and years of work and other things you do to get that soil ready, and then when they're ready to plant, they use a thing to break up the earth just so, in a very particular way, so they can plant right in just like, in particular patterns for optimal growth. This is all the work the farmers have to do. They do not go around with seed. They spent their livelihood making and scatter it around all willy-nilly. Now, farmers don't do that. But that is exactly what God does. Why would God be so reckless? Why would God be so careless with the word? Like, he should protect it. you should insulate it and keep it pure, right? Well, God is able to keep his word pure all by himself. And he scatters his seed everywhere to begin to heal the soil wherever that seed goes. And yes, there will be seeds scattered on hard hearts where demons come along and pick it off. And yes, there will be seeds scattered on rocky ground where that faith burns out. And yes, there will be seed, this precious seed won by Jesus' blood, that is scattered where weeds and thorns grow. And it will get choked out. But there will be seed that transforms, that heals fields so that something better can grow. So, terrible example for farming, because the sower seems to treat the seed like it's nothing, or, which is more likely the case where I think Jesus is going with this, he treats it like it's what's going to heal everything. If you've got the antidote to heal everything, and you have an endless supply of it, it's priceless, right? It's a treasure, but you know it's going to fix everything. You scatter that around. You do not be stingy with that seed. You scatter it everywhere. And so God sows on the path, the rocks and the weeds and the good soil too, because everyone everywhere is longing for love that lasts. And that's how God shows up. God loves you when you have a hard heart and his word doesn't take root. God loves you when your heart is rocking, when what he gives you burns up before you even realize what you have. God loves you when you're surrounded by people and situations and emotions and thoughts that choke out his word in your heart. And God loves you enough to do all that work to redo your field, to heal your field, so that his word can thrive in your heart. All that seed that seems like it's wasted actually works. It works in all the parts of your heart and your life to dig ears and make good soil where his seed, his word, thrives in you. And when God's word thrives in you, you thrive. Say that again. When God's word thrives in you, you thrive. Despite weeds and rocks and hardness, you still thrive because God is thriving within you. Despite exposure and hardship and pressure, God's word begins to endure in you. This is the kingdom. This is Jesus. This is the love of God at work in the world and in the word and in the seed. Because God sows everywhere, anyway, in love. This is your God, Emmaus. This is the God you need. This is the God the church needs. This is the God your neighbors need. This is the God your enemies need. This is why God has called you here to sow his word in you so that you thrive in faith and so that faith never ends with you. God is all over what you need for thriving while longing. Jesus heals fields by digging ears. When God thrives in you, you thrive. And God sows everywhere, anyway, in love. In his name. Amen. Let's pray. God, thank you for this word, where we get a glimpse of your kingdom, your love for us and your Son. And Jesus, you show us the Father. And you give us the Spirit that continues to plant the seed in our hearts and all the different parts of it that are hard or rocky or thorny, and the parts of our heart you have cultivated to be good, to receive your word, and it begins to thrive in us. And God, help us to thrive as you do your work in us, in our midst, in this neighborhood, in all of our neighborhoods, so that your faith the faith that's alive in us doesn't end with us. God, we pray this in your name. Amen.